Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Friday, September 27th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. I'm going to preview the remaining games on the slate here for y'all, 15. But first, I want to talk about Thursday Night Football. Of course, before I get into that, FTNFantasy.com, updated rankings projections, tools galore, DVOA, betting, DFS, everything you need. Honestly, if you're a degenerate, I mean, it's kind of everything. We should make that our slogan. If you're a degenerate, FTNFantasy.com, head on over there and check everything out. If you want a 10% discount, use the promo code RATPACK. All right, let me talk about this game last night. A few key takeaways, nothing major here. This felt like an NFC East game, which I think is good. I feel like there's a sense of normalcy finally in the NFL, so we're there. On the Dallas side, CDB and CD. Dak didn't really have to do that much, but at least got two passing touchdowns in the hopper here, plus 221. CD, I mean, it stinks if you're in a league where you get that bonus for getting to 100 yards because he has 98, but 7 for 98 in a score, I'll take that all day long. This backfield is officially Rico Dowdle's. It happened. And Ezekiel Elliott, I had said last week, I said I thought he looked washed. He looks washed. Like, yeah, they were using him at the very end in like cleanup duty, like, you know, as a battering ram to try and get that first down to ultimately end the game, but he's washed. 24 snaps for Dowdle, 9 for Ezekiel Elliott. So does this mean Dowdle is like all of a sudden very fantasy viable? No, not necessarily. Like, he was flex worthy this week and he ended up delivering on that, had the touchdown. That's about it. You know, didn't do that much on the ground. He only played 47% of the snaps. So I just don't think there's going to be anything more than that in the time for the time being. But if you have Dowdle, certainly, even if he's on your bench, this is not bad. If you have Zeke, you likely can move on from him. You got to have somebody to drop him for, but you can move on from him. Over to the other side, Singletary struggled. He's going to have games like this. Like, he's far from a perfect player. He is a back-end RB2 front-end flex play most weeks. So I'm not going to panic over 1 week. And that's going to kind of be the theme for today as we go through some of these games. Neighbors blew up yet again. 12 for 115 on 15 targets. Now, I don't know if he's officially in concussion protocol. There was rumors that he sustained a concussion after the game that came out. The good news is, even if he's in protocol, they have a mini bye. So I'm not overly concerned. We will talk about Wandale Robinson on Tuesday. He had 11 catches for 71 yards. He does not have a high ceiling, but that volume is at least noteworthy. And I'll tell you this, I thought Daniel Jones, for all said and done, wasn't that bad. And that's all we need out of Daniel Jones. We just don't need him to be like Will Levis. And if he does that, then Neighbors, he's going to continue to produce. We'll get some Wandale games. Maybe we'll get an occasional game out of somebody else like Jalen Hyatt or Slayton. Hyatt barely played. Slayton was out there as an every down guy. So maybe we'll get those occasionally as well. All right, let's move into these games here for you. And I want to start with a divisional contest between the New Orleans Saints and Atlanta Falcons. And just as a reminder, I'll say this every week, you know, just because you never know who's new coming into the podcast, but I'm not going to tell you to start Alvin Kamara or Bijan Robinson. Like, those are the obvious ones. That's not why you're here. But I will tell you, for example, in this instance, like Rashid Shaheed, he still has fantasy value. Like, we can't just take last week and use that as the be all end all. I realize he had a fantasy goose egg. I realize you might have started him and got 0 points, and that freaking sucks. I know it freaking sucks, but 5 targets in the game, he's still getting those downfield looks. So he remains a wide receiver 3 play for me. He's boom or bust. That's Rashid Shaheed, and there's nothing wrong with that. As for his quarterback, I caught a little bit of flack last week when I said be careful about Derek Carr. It wasn't that I said Derek Carr sucks, because I don't think he sucks. I think he's a quarterback too. What my concern was is the passing volume. You know, he threw 25 times against the Eagles for just 142. The reason why I was concerned is he had a lot of big plays in the first 2 weeks of the season, and big plays are not sustainable. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, here he was last week, comes crashing back to earth. He's more of a QB2. Could he have some big games going forward? Yeah, of course he can. He already did. He showed he can. So sure, that can happen again in the future, but I'm going to exercise caution with him. Over to the other side, I think the main player I'm looking at here is Kyle Pitts. And if you roster Kyle Pitts and you actually didn't see last week, go look at the 50-yard catch. It was 50 yards. It goes down. You know, he only has the two catches in the game. It goes down as a okay fantasy week. He was so close to scoring a touchdown on that. He looked awesome on that play. And that's the type of explosive upside you have with him. So I'm going to keep using him bullishly so. As far as Kirk Cousins, 28th, 9th, and 24th is what he has finished for fantasy purposes. Still just a super flex option. Let's move on to the Rams and Chicago. On the Rams side, honestly, it's just Kyren. You know, I can't trust Stafford. I'm not using DeMarcus Robinson if I can get away with it. Definitely not using Tutu Atwell. You could go to tight end and use Colby Parkinson, but really it's Kyren and kind of everybody else. So let's look to the other side. Now, Caleb Williams did have a big game last week. In fact, he threw for 539 air yards, which is the most this season by a quarterback. He was the first one to go over 500. I know you're not in a points per air yards league, but air yards means upside. Upside is there. I want to see it happen in two games before I'm overly bullish on him. So I think we're in streamer territory with him. If you drafted him, we're still evaluating him as an upside option. I think we're already there with somebody like Jaden Daniels, like where he hit. And we're already there with like Trevor Lawrence as an upside guy where he didn't hit, right? We can move on from Lawrence. We can hitch our wagon to Jaden Daniels. We're not there with Caleb Williams. Usually I say it takes me about a month to evaluate these upside guys. Sometimes it can be a little quicker if you get three straight games of bad or three straight games of good. But we've gotten slow and steady progress from Williams. So it's encouraging, but still more of a one quarterback streamer. I don't know if we'll have Keenan Allen back yet, but if he is, I mean, I guess it puts a little bit of a damper on Adunze, but Adunze showed us that ceiling. Like Keenan Allen doesn't have that ceiling. So I'm still in wide receiver three territory with Adunze. And obviously, DJ Moore is a priority. Now, be careful with Roschon. I coined this phrase I call the Roto World effect. And basically, it's when Roto World blurbs something, then the fantasy masses react to it and often overreact to it if it's about a slightly deeper player. And we have a prime example here. And this is not a knock on Roto World. If you know my history, I worked at Roto World for a couple of years. I loved working for Roto World. I learned so much working for Roto World. I hold them in the highest regard. Absolutely love Roto World. But sometimes people take those Roto World blurbs and run with them. And the case in point, Roschon Johnson getting expanded opportunity this week. That came from Jeremy Fowler initially. What does it mean? I don't know. Do you know? Because I don't know, but I've had people in the FTN Discord assuming that Roschon all of a sudden is an RB2 option, which is way getting ahead of this thing. Is there an upward trajectory for Roschon? Yes. But that doesn't mean he's going to hit. And it also doesn't mean that, you know, DeAndre Swift is just going to fade into, as Mike Tyson would say, Bolivia. I honestly think he's still going to have a role going forward, especially in the passing game. So slow your roll. I actually still have Swift ranked ahead of Johnson. It's really risky to start Johnson this week. It's fine if you picked him up, but it's really risky to start him this week. I would not be doing that if I get away with it. I often say I'd rather have a guy blow up on my bench than put up a stinker in my starting lineup. And a lot of times I need to see it to believe it. And we haven't seen it with Roschon yet. Okay, let's move to Minnesota and Green Bay. Minnesota is rolling in this one. Obviously, we know we're using Justin Jefferson. We got a revenge game for Aaron Jones. We could have Jordan Addison back. Now, I'd be careful with him, at least in his first game back. But the good news there, you know, another weapon for Sam Darnold if you happen to be rostering him. The bad news is if you picked up Jalen Naylor, well, another mouth to feed and a mouth who should be ahead of him in the pecking order is not good for Jalen Naylor. So just be cautious with that one. I'm using Darnold as a fringe QB1 this week. It's not exactly the best matchup having to go into Green Bay, but he's been playing so stinking good. So on the other side, we're in wait and see mode on the quarterback spot. Can Jordan Love get back on the field? Well, today will be somewhat telling, but I don't even think we'll be out of the woods yet. I'm suspecting we get another limited practice. And in a lot of instances, a week full of limited practices is actually encouraging. But I have seen this with knee injuries before. When you have an MCL injury, doesn't mean you're out of the woods. So if it's Malik Willis, I'm only using Jacobs and Willis in Superflex. If it's Jordan Love, then I'm using Jacobs. And then we can get Jaden Reed back into starting territory. Maybe Christian Watson. I haven't run those numbers just yet. as of right now, still looking at Willis as the starter, but you know, that could change, obviously. Pittsburgh, Indianapolis. This one sets up so extremely well for Najee Harris. No Jalen Warren, a poor run defense that has already given up two 150-plus yard rushers this season. Now, Najee's going to Najee. I think we know that. I hope we know that about him. He's not a super high ceiling guy, but he is a guy who can handle a big workload. And one of the challenges for him this season is goal line work. You know, that has been hard to come by this season. He has one goal line carry so far, but I think he's going to get more opportunities in this one. It sets up really well. I like him in DFS a lot this week. I'm using Justin Fields as a fringe quarterback one, but still tempering expectations there. As far as the other side with Richardson, do you not want to start him? I mean, I don't blame you with what you've seen so far this season. Under 50% completion rate, really struggling, not running, not scoring rushing touchdowns. There's a lot of knocks here. Now, if you're going through that right now, the response, unfortunately, isn't woe is me or woe is you. The response should be, let's take a serious look at how we draft quarterbacks. If you drafted Richardson, where'd you draft him? Sixth round, seventh round, something like that in a one quarterback league. I sure as hell hope it wasn't any earlier than that, but maybe it was. Well, here's the problem. You know, there is a reason why I advocate for the draft strategy I do. It's because this position, if you miss, the value cost is pretty significant. Like if you drafted Richardson, let's say it's the sixth round, you draft Richardson in the sixth round, you miss on him. You draft a wide receiver in the sixth round, you miss on him. Which one is more detrimental to your roster? Clearly the quarterback. Clearly. You know, and as opposed to I'm going in and now it's great if you draft Jaden Daniels in the late rounds, but even if it's Trevor Lawrence, you drafted Trevor Lawrence in what, round 14 and you miss on him? Okay, whoopity-do. Let's go to the waivers. Oh, cool. You picked up Sam Darnold. Awesome. Like the value cost to your roster is nowhere near as significant as missing on that middle round guy. If you miss on a six-round wide receiver, it's not the end of the world because I guarantee that wasn't, I sure as hell hope it wasn't the first wide receiver you drafted. It's not as big of a deal. Now, it's not great to miss on players. I get that. But missing on quarterbacks in the middle rounds is a massive pitfall. And it happens every year. And there's something about a lot of fantasy players where they just, it's like they can't get past the middle rounds without drafting a quarterback. And you know, maybe it's worked in the past, but every year there are guys like Richardson. Now, and maybe this rebounds, but every year there are guys like Richardson. Every year, like last year, it was Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow. Now, granted, for very different reasons, Burrow was hurt, but they didn't hit. And the value cost, regardless of the reason, is still just as significant. So it'd be something I would make a note of. Next year, maybe avoid the middle round quarterback. Anyway, if you don't want to start him, hey, it's your squad, man. I mean, I don't have him inside the top 12, so I get it. I have him at quarterback 16 right now. I get it. But what are you doing? Who are you going to use? You know, do you feel that great? I mean, granted, I have Geno Smith at 10. Do you feel great about that? Couldn't you have just drafted Geno Smith in the last round? This is the point. So ride with him. Don't ride with him. But this is kind of where we are right now. Hopefully he turns things around and starts completing more passes. Okay, Jonathan Taylor is very good. And I'm still holding Michael Pittman. His stock is tied to Richardson, but he's still a wide receiver three. Denver and the Jets. Bo Nix took a step forward last week. We're seeing that with these rookie quarterbacks as they're getting more comfortable with starters. Like, he doesn't offer Caleb Williams ceiling, but he could be a very serviceable quarterback too over the long haul, especially with his legs, 107 rushing yards and two scores so far this season. He's actually seventh among quarterbacks in rushing yards, so it's not that bad. And he did help get Cortland Sutton going a little bit last week, seven for 68 on 11 targets. Sutton is leading the NFL. Oh, no, he's second in the NFL. Sorry, second in the NFL in end zone targets with five. None of them for touchdowns, but those opportunities matter. So I'm staying the course with him, and I am avoiding their backfield outright. Over to the other side, could be a tough spot for Garrett Wilson. Patrick Surtain should be on him. The good news is Rodgers is going to target him, And like, let's say Surtain shadows Wilson on 85% of his routes, which would mean 15% of his routes are not against Surtain. Guess what Rodgers is going to do on every one of those routes? He's going to throw him the football. So I'm not worried in season long. I'm just not using Garrett Wilson in DFS. As far as the backfield is concerned, I do think we're at the point where Braylon Allen is flex worthy, but I'm very cautious with him because he has no pathway to a larger role unless Breece gets hurt, and I don't want to wish that on anybody right there. So just be careful. Philly and Tampa. All right, let's talk Philly injuries. So AJ Brown, I didn't expect him all along. I've been saying that all along here. DNP. So I doubt he plays. Devontae Smith. Okay, he's in concussion protocol and it looked like a bad one. He went DNP. That is a telltale sign. Doesn't mean every single time the dude's not going to play, but that second practice of the week, if it's DNP, is usually that player is out. So that means the option here, the beneficiary here, is Dallas Goedert. If you're going to try and get cute with Jahan Dotson, I'd say like if you make the Jahan Dotson play this week, you put him in a lineup as your third wide receiver. I would say out of 100 times, how often does it work? Well, it's not zero, but maybe 15 times, 20 times. Like you're at a 15 or 20% hit rate. No, thank you. I just don't see it hitting very often. And sure, maybe this is one of those 15 to 20% of the time, but I don't play the game that way. Like that's really, really volatile. So I would avoid Jahan Dotson. 37 routes run last week, 2 balls. For 8 yards is all he managed to do. So it is Dallas Goedert. I like him to follow up what he did last week with a tough week at tight end. He's a borderline elite option. On the other side, straightforward for Mayfield, this is a great matchup for him. For Godwin, for Evans, straightforward. The backfield is tricky. So Rashad White really struggles on the ground. Bucky Irving does not struggle on the ground. Now, Bucky Irving did pop up on the injury report, went limited DNP, which is a terrible practice pattern, but he assured reporters he's going to play. What do I expect to see here? Honestly, I think Irving's role is going to increase on the ground. Then I think ultimately from there, you have Rashad White moving to more of a passing down role. In other words, a true timeshare, which means, unfortunately, both of them will be flex options. I will tell you one thing I do not want to be doing right now is rostering both of those guys. And there was a simple reason. This is no longer a starter and handcuff situation. We're not there anymore. It is a, you know, passing down and early down situation. And those, they're both flex guys. You can't use them both in starting lineups with any confidence. So you're going to have to pick your poison. And if you're anything like me, if you choose White this week, Irving's going to be the guy. So then next week you choose Irving and White will be the guy. It's just cosmically, that's the way the universe works. So I would love to avoid that frustration if I can. Cincinnati and Carolina. On the Cincinnati side, I mean, straightforward. Joe Burrow, even though they haven't been winning, he has 12 end zone throws on the season. He's been really good for fantasy. Each of the last 2 weeks, he's been QB6. Great. Jamar Chase going. I'm still staying the course with T. Higgins. I think there was enough there that, you know, he's still boom or bust, and he's a wide receiver 3. Zach Moss, still the clear lead back, but Chase Brown has showed enough. Like, he showed that explosive ability last week that if I still have him on benches, which I do, I'm okay with that. Like, he's one Zach Moss injury away from being an RB2, you know, or, you know, possibly, let's call him an RB2 with upside. Not bad. As far as the other side, Andy Dalton, baby. I love that there's a revenge game here. So this one sets up well for Dalton. He obviously blew the doors off of things last week, but I would not expect that again. If he does it again, then we're going to have to change our tune. But I do have him as a super flex option this week. Deontay Johnson, I have him top 10 right now, which is crazy. But he did get he went DNP yesterday, but there is not any pessimism here. There's actually some optimism that he plays, a lot of optimism, that is. So I wouldn't be too worried. It is wise on Fridays, like Friday afternoon, just kind of be at the ready to just in case anything happens with practice reports where there's surprise inactives or, you know, somebody's declared out or something like that. You know, I made this whole thing on Twitter because I found out that all these people are waking up at 3 a.m. on Wednesday mornings to go and look at the waiver wire. Like, to me, that's madness because, like, any player who's dropped, you can't pick them up. They go to waivers in any league that I'm in. So then you still have to just put in a waiver claim. And then otherwise, you're just picking through waiver wire trash. Like, I don't get it. I would say it's much more important to be on the ready Friday afternoon. So like on the East Coast, like between like 4 and 5 Eastern. So obviously earlier afternoon on the West Coast. But either way, just in case anything goes down. This might be the last time we can use Chuba Hubbard. I don't mind him as an RB2 option, but you know, we could see Jonathan Brooks back in the mix next week. I don't think Brooks just takes over the backfield immediately, but you're talking an instant timeshare. And then eventually I think Jonathan Brooks just down the stretch is the guy. Jacksonville and Houston. Unfortunately with Jacksonville, man, Trevor Lawrence is not playing well and it makes it difficult to use any of the pass catchers, Kirk, Brian Thomas Jr. Evan Ingram isn't going to play this week. Well, he's going to be called doubtful, but he isn't playing this week. Travis Etienne still an RB2. Keep an eye on the Houston injury report today. We do not expect Tank Dell or Joe Mixon to play. We don't know if Damian Pierce is going to play. He's got to get to limited today. He's been DNP so far. Got to get to limited to play. If not, it's another week of lackluster Cam Akers, and I just don't really care for that. Nico Collins popped up with a limited yesterday. That can mean one of two things. Either they were kind of going easy on him or the injury happened during practice. Today will be the telltale. If we see limited or better, we're good. If we see a DNP, uh-oh, don't panic. There's no reason to panic. It's just fantasy football. But these are the things we want to look for. And again, be on the ready when all these reports come out. If he doesn't go, then, I mean, Stephon Diggs is a wide receiver one. This is a great matchup. We just saw Josh Allen dissect this defense. But otherwise, it should be good for C.J. Stroud and the passing game. Washington and Arizona. Jaden Daniels is rolling. He's doing historic things, as I've talked about on the podcast this week. It sets up well for him, for McLaurin. It sets up well for Brian Robinson, who should get extra work here because, well, you won't have Austin Eckler. So it's just a really great spot across the board. On the other side, okay, so we did get DNP in this instance here for Trey McBride. Now we have information to put things into context. With a DNP on Wednesday, we really don't know anything. With back-to-back DNPs in concussion protocol, we know very unlikely to play. Doesn't mean he can't play. He would definitely have to get to limited today. I only remember one instance ever of a player going all DNPs across the board and then still playing. I think it was Damian Harris for the Patriots. It was definitely a Patriots running back. I could be wrong if it was Damian Harris. They all blend together. All those dudes were like the same guy. But I think it was in that era. It's the only time I've ever seen that. That's it. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen. So he's got to get to at least limited, and I don't think he's going to play. So I expect a ton of Maserati Marv. On the other side, Washington has allowed 9 receiving touchdowns to wide receivers this season. So, okay, giddy up there. James Conner, don't worry about last week. One of the themes of this week for me is people forgetting to look beyond just what recently happened. Like, he was very good in weeks 1 and 2. Last week wasn't good. Okay, well, we have more than just last week as a data point, and that is important to not forget. So he's still very, very playable, obviously, here. New England, San Francisco, same thing applies for Ramondre Stevenson, who's the only player worth using in New England right now, outside of maybe Hunter Henry. Last week wasn't good, but he was a top 12 running back in each of the first 2 weeks of the season. Tough matchup, but I'm still using him as a wide receiver, too. Now, San Francisco is a little complicated. It does look like George Kittle is going to be back. We don't quite know if Debo is going to be back, but the thing about Debo is he practiced limited yesterday, so he is at least in the mix as a potential return. And why this is important is, you know, Juwan Jennings was awesome last week. He's been, you know, really good overall this season, but the opportunities will be limited if Debo and Kittle are back out there. So check back after all the injury reports come out, because I can't even really fully rank these guys, like Ayuk, all of them, until we get all of that intel right there. And obviously we know we're using Jordan Mason until further notice. Moving on to Cleveland and Vegas. Cleveland is tough because Deshaun Watson has been up and down. Just know that Amari Cooper is going to be boom or bust. Jerome Ford's still in the lead in that backfield, and he did get limited practice in yesterday. But Deontay Foreman's usage means Ford is really just a flex option. With the Raiders, I think the main thing here, because we're using Adams and Bowers and that's kind of it, is the backfield. So Zamir White, not good. Alexander Mattison's not a good option either. I know he scored some touchdowns, but I'm not counting on that. So if you swung and missed on White, well, that happens sometimes, you know, definitely happens. I don't see any value to any of these guys. I mean, technically White is still the most valuable because he's still the lead, at least in early downs, but I don't want to hang my hat on that for fantasy purposes. Kansas City and the Chargers. On the Kansas City side, I mean, Mahomes has been 15th, 14th, and 17th, which is quarterback two production, but he's really just taking what the defense has given him, and Rice has been shot out of a cannon. I'm not giving up on Travis Kelce. As far as the backfield, though, that's probably the most important thing. I do think Carson Steele is still the early down back. I do still think P. Ryan's going to have a role, and I think Kareem Hunt's going to have a role. But I don't know any of this stuff, and I'm not going to tell you what I don't know. What I do know is this. If I have any piece of this backfield, I'm holding this week, and that includes Samaje P. Ryan. I want to see what happens this week. You know, how much do they get Kareem Hunt involved? Is Carson Steele just the early down guy? Like, what happens here? And then we take it from there. I don't want to use any of these guys if I can get away with it, and I think that's the best approach. Over to the other side, I mean, man, the Chargers are banged up. It's not just Justin Herbert. It's also their offensive line. I mean, Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater are both unlikely to play, so be careful with J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins, by the way, is the only running back with more than 40 carries on the season to not receive a single goal line carry. That's a bit concerning, so be careful with that. Otherwise, I mean, we'll keep an eye on Quentin Johnston with Josh Palmer practicing in full, and he'll be back this week. Buffalo, Baltimore, I think the big thing on the Buffalo side, because James Cook, Josh Allen were rolling, Khalil Shakir is still just a wide receiver three, and it's not because he isn't performing well. He is. He's just not a full-time player. He's not on the field in two wide receiver sets, so that is concerning for me, so it's keeping me in wide receiver three territory for him. Over to the other side, I mean, hey, the tight end situation is the quintessential this season. This is a horrible season for tight end, and Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely really highlight that. Andrews has gone 29th, 10th, and 58th in terms of fantasy finishes. Likely has gone 1st, 22nd, and 51st. Who is the better option right now? I still think it's Andrews. I still have him at the very tail end of tight end one territory, but that's not saying much. And if you want to move on from him and start streaming, go for it. It is your squad, but these guys play tight end, and tight end is notoriously tricky. All right, Tennessee, Miami, Will Levis. He puts a damper on things for sure. Hopkins was okay last week, no doubt about it. The touchdown, 73 yards, but he's still behind Ridley. Now, I mentioned this yesterday on the pod. Ridley saw shadow from Jaire Alexander. Ridley's going to be boom or bust. He's not going to see a shadow this week. He's boom or bust. I still think he's the wide receiver three play. Just know what you're signing up for with him. And I'm going to try and save Hopkins for now. Over to the other side, we don't know who's going to be quarterback. Surprisingly, Skylar Thompson was limited in practice. It could be him. It could be Tyler Huntley. Honestly, it doesn't matter for Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Their values are down until Tua comes back. I'm not as down on Devon Achane. I have him as a back-end RB1. Even if Raheem Mostert's back out there, it's more that explosive ability of Achane. The reality is he only needs a few touches to give you an entire week of fantasy production, so we have to keep that in mind there. All right, finally, Seattle and Detroit. On the Seattle side, the big story is Kenneth Walker. Is he going to play? Well, he was back in practice, got limited work yesterday, so he is actually trending in that direction. If he is back on the field, he's an RB2, and Zach Charbonnet heads back to the fantasy bench. If he does not play, Zach Charbonnet is closer to RB1 territory because he has less competition for touches compared to Walker, who Charbonnet would touch the football still. So probably more of a fringe RB1 for Charbonnet if Walker can't go. We won't know that until Saturday afternoon. And unfortunately, that's just the case. Like, we won't know it. There's no reports really that will fully suggest it, unless, I mean, sometimes we get lucky and they're like, oh yeah, he's good to go, but I suspect he'll be limited today and maybe even limited tomorrow. On the other side, I think it's about as straightforward as it comes with most of this. Here's a cool stat for you. So I had mentioned how Jahmyr Gibbs had a 20-yard reception without having a catch. Like he had 20 yards in receiving, but no catch. He's the first player since 2001 to record a 20-plus receiving yards without registering a catch. That's pretty wild. It happened on that lateral play. But Monty, him, Amon-Ra, the player we're keeping an eye on is Sam Laporta. He did go DNP yesterday, but it's being called a mild low ankle sprain, so he could still be out there. Again, Friday's practice report, the second one of the week, probably not going to tell us much. We have to wait until Saturday. I would say he does need to get at least one limited practice in order to play. So that's what we're looking for. There you go. All right, that's it for today. You want this entire breakdown plus more, go check out the report over at ftnfantasy.com. Updated rankings, projections, all the goods there. So much more you heard me talk about at the top of the show. Use that promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Otherwise, follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, where the angry fantasy guys are out in full force, and on Instagram as well at Jeff Ratcliffe. I'll be back on Monday, give you the biggest takeaways from all these games. Don't forget as well, Sunday morning, 8 to noon Eastern, that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network. Check it out. It's an awesome show, and I'm on it. So that makes it even better, right? Maybe not, but check it out. You'll like it. All right, I'll catch you on a flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.